Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. And I know we work together quite a bit through WomenSpeakers.com, and you've done some, challenges that have been just fantastic. And you've also kind of gotten into anthologies in the last little while here. And so that, I was thinking, we've never done a show about this. And a lot of people are like, what is it? How do you get in on one? All that kind of thing. So would you call the Chicken Soup for the Soul series an anthology?
Yes, because it had multiple authors.
So yes. So that's kind of in my head, that's kind of how I think of an anthology, is anything that's a collaboration between multiple authors.
Yes.
And the official name of that is an anthology. So you just had one come out. Was it 2020?
It was December of 2020.
And that one just went right to international bestseller.
It did, in 4 countries and 28 categories in less than 10 hours. It was so exciting. I had never thought about writing an anthology. I've been a part of several of them. But when 2020 happened and COVID kicked off, and then all my speaking got canceled, I was like, okay, God, what do I do now? And he just gave me little breadcrumbs that I just followed. He started out with, I want you to do a virtual summit. And then virtual stuff. Now I want you to do, and I was just like, oh God, okay, I did it. Check. I'm a good girl. I got my.
I'm done.
And he's like, not so fast. And he's I want you to do an anthology. And so I was like, okay. So I went back to the 12 people who did the virtual summit, and only one of them said yes. And I'm like, where am I supposed to get the rest of these authors, Lord? And he just sent them. And it's the most amazing stories. My 12 women, myself, and my one lone soul man. I always seem to have one brave man that'll step up
with all the girls. So you know what? There's 3 things I want to bring out here. I want to bring out how God changed your direction when COVID hit.
Yes.
How you did a summit, which led to the anthology, and then how you got 11 no's and 1 yes, but forged forward. So let's start with, I know that for me too, COVID changed everything, because we're in the speaking industry. And so all the event planners and all the speakers that I work with were all of a sudden just, sheltering at home. That's it. And so what I did is I just started getting up every day saying, what do you want me to do today? Mm-hmm. And it was amazing how God used that downtime. It wasn't downtime in the end. It ended up to be highly productive. How about you? What was the thought process that you had going into COVID then that allowed you to accomplish so much?
Well, God had been leading. God has to, just like give me little hints along the way. So he's been leading me up to these different things. And when I first started speaking, I was struggling to find stages. And, when you're not known, and, you can build the best websites and all this, but you've got to get known by speakers and event planners. You have to. So as I was struggling through that, and I would apply for speaking things that they put across Facebook and stuff, and I would go through there and register, and then they would do the interview, and then they'd send me a letter and they'd say, oh, you've been chosen as one of our select speakers. It's only $3,500 to speak.
You're right.
Plus your travel and all that. And I was just like, God, and just over and over. And I was like, God, we don't have that kind of money. My husband's in the military, and I was disabled and bedridden for 12 years. So I have disability and that's it. And I was like, Lord, I know you called me. It was clear. I knew that was the call. And I said, but I don't understand this. And I just felt like God said, why do you keep trying to play small in everybody else's yard when I called you to play big in my yard?
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. I don't know. That's a big yard, God.
You've got a big yard.
I love that. You think about, I mean, like God's yard is like Disney World. It's like, it's huge. Right. And so I, you know, I just kind of just kept plugging away, speaking where I had opportunity and where, you know, I was able to speak. And then when COVID hit, I had about 10 speaking events scheduled. I was actually speaking on March 14th in West Virginia. And the Air Force Base called and told my husband, you guys have to come home. We're locking down and you have to be in North Carolina. And I'm like, excuse me? You know, I didn't sign your papers. You don't owe me. That's on God's papers. I didn't sign your papers. But I had to come home anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
So I just, you know, and then I was just, okay, what do I do? And so, you know, God just like a little child just took me by the hand and just little by little led me down the road of, I want you to do this and then do this and then do this. And I'm glad because if he told me how it's going to be at the end, I'd be hiding under this desk still.
No, exactly. And that's why I thought I wanted to talk about, you know, you started with a summit and that developed into something else. And that's, I mean, with my experience with all of the planners and all of the speakers who I've ever talked to, God doesn't just take you from zero to 10 million all at one time. I mean, it's like it is a process.
Yes.
And every once in a while, somebody goes viral, you know, the Chewbacca mom or something, you know, somebody goes viral without any expectation of doing that. But typically it's a very much of a kindergarten through 12th grade and then a bachelor's and then a master's and then a doctorate in life. And, you know, fortunately, God allows us to kind of get these things under our belt. So tell us about how you, you know, when you got the 11 no's, and the just one, yes. So you've got, all of a sudden you've got, okay, this was a success. Now I've got this anthology idea right on the top of it. So I've got my 12 people already locked in, ready to go. And I got 11 no's and just one yes. Should I quit? What do you do in that moment? What do you do?
I just sat back and said, okay, how do we go about this a different way? Because God was very specific.
You knew God called you.
In the virtual. He gave me, he said, ask these specific people who says yes, who says no. So he knew beforehand who was going to say yes to the anthology. But, and so I had 12 people come back and say yes. So I was like, okay, number of completion. That's good. We're great. Let's do this. And we did it just on a Facebook group and I posted it. It's on my YouTube channel. And so I, like I said, I thought I was done. I got my check mark, my gold star. I'm good. And then go back for the anthology when God told me to do the anthology and I had one yes. And I'm like, okay, how do I go about this? So I just started putting it out on all the social media, sending it out to my email list, and slowly but surely people started inquiring. And I ended up with 14 authors and well, 13 and myself.
Nice.
And so I was just, I was like, okay, I can do this with 14. Yep. And so I did two half chapters because I knew that the publisher that I was using her to market it. I published it, but I used her to do the marketing. I knew her list went out to like 15 different countries.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted the plan of salvation in there. I wanted the Romans Road. Mm-hmm. So one of my half chapters was the Roman Road and the other half was my little story in there.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that was just really, that was my purpose. That book is called Fiercely Faithful. And then God told me after it came out and it did so well, and I took about 2-3 days to recover because it is exhausting, exhausting. It's like herding cats at some point. And so I was resting and God said, okay, I want you to do another one next December. And it's going to be the fruits of the spirit. So every December we're going to do one on the fruits of the spirit. So the next one is joy. That was faithfulness. The next one is joy. And that will be in December. And he just gave me.
How cool is that? You have a whole series.
Yes. A 12. What, there's 12.
Yeah.
Nine. So 9 years worth of.
Wow.
I didn't really think I was going to still be doing this in 9 years, but
apparently so.
Surprise.
Either you or somebody God passes the baton to.
Exactly.
So it takes us back to, took me back to a story about Moses when you were talking about what you did when you got 11 no's and one yes, is that God uses this principle. What is that you have in your hand? And what you said to the answer of that question I asked you was, I just started using my whatever you had in your hand. My Facebook, my emails, like that. And that's really how God typically does it. Every once in a while, he pulls a miracle for us, and that's awesome. I think when we get to heaven, we'll see that the whole thing is a miracle.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, you know, he pulls like a real, you know, real bona fide miracle where like that was impossible and it still happened. But
right.
Most of the time, he really uses just our faithful steps, one step at a time, asking, what should I do next, like that.
Exactly.
So let's dive in here. For those of you who came for specific information, I wanted to ask you, Elizabeth, the best reason to be part of an anthology. So, okay, you're the author, the collaboration.
I'm the collaborator.
Coordinator. And then you have authors that come in. Now, with your anthologies, do they actually pay to participate?
Yes, they pay to participate, and there are three levels of participation, and I go through all of that with them. I always do an interview call with everybody because I have to be sure that we line up, and I want them to pray about it. I want to pray about it. I want to be sure that God says yes to them and to me that we need to move forward. And so I always do that, but yes, there is a charge, and that covers the cost of editors, of the graphic designers, the layout, the marketing team. I have a friend of mine who has a publishing company in California, and she has over 10 million people worldwide that she markets to.
Wow.
And she guarantees you Amazon number one bestseller, but every book she's done in the last year and a half has gone to international bestseller.
Wow.
But she doesn't guarantee that. She's not quite sure of that formula yet.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So for an author, what's the best reason to be part of an anthology?
Oh, the best reason to be part of an anthology is if you want to publish a book and you want that, and at least this is what I found for myself. And I was in three anthologies before I wrote my book and then published my book. The learning, what I learned about marketing, what I learned about writing, what I learned about editing, all of the information that I learned through being an anthology.
Sure.
And then also you're splitting the cost. So if you want to write a book and you want to promote it to international number one bestseller, you're talking about a good little chunk of change.
Yeah.
This way you split the cost between everybody.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't all fall on you to cover the cost. Because I know my book, I wrote and published myself, and it didn't. It went to number one, Amazon number one bestseller. But I worked myself to death. I had to take like 2 weeks off to sleep after that because it was exhausting. So you get to split the difference. And then you also get in that the bonus of every time that book is sold, your name, your story goes out. So if the other 12 authors are having events and selling that book, then you're spreading your message along with it.
Yeah.
And so that's an excellent reason to be in an anthology.
Well, the last piece is the one that I expected you to say, but the first piece I can totally see how, because when you're in a summit or when you're in an anthology, basically the coordinator of that big multi-focused project tells you exactly what you have to do to make this whole thing succeed. You have to send this many emails out to your list. You have to have this many people pre-edit it before you submit it to me. You have this many people who are going to buy it and give you a good review on Amazon. I mean, you have to, all of these things need to be in place before you go forward. And so that's amazing. I love that you brought that out because I hadn't been thinking about that part, but of course it's really true.
Yeah, it is. And it really lightens the load on everybody because it's carrying the burden. So,
And you can really see how having more people to help you just helps the whole project.
Yes, exactly. And what I love, and this is something I do, and I know most collaborators don't do this, but I make my books a community. So all of my authors have a bond. They all know each other. We have a Facebook group. We have a Facebook Instant Messenger, and we all get to know each other. And then I always try to have an event, either a live event or a summit, an online summit, so that they can speak together, get to know each other, and we try to coach together. The publisher has marketing meetings where we all go on Zoom together. So it makes it really nice because you get to build a community.
On your first anthology, did you do your summit before or after the release?
the first anthology, I was going to do a live event after,
yeah,
but we had to change that because of COVID. And yeah, so we're going to be doing it much later, this summer, but the one that came out in December, because we're just waiting for everything to settle down and be sure that we can make it a go.
Nice. So what's the most important part of the project?
The most important part of the project is meeting your deadlines.
Oh.
For me, it's meeting your deadlines. Mm. If you get people that are pushing it right up to the edge, and I always put this in my contract, there are no refunds. So if you don't get your job done, that's just, I still have to pay everybody the same amount because I make contracts with the editors and the marketing and all this. Mm. So I still have to pay them. So when you're in an anthology, hit your deadlines. Yeah. If you can at all possible, hit your deadlines. Do your promoting that you agreed to do to help the group. And try to be a team player. Try to participate with everybody and be a team player. And I try to give my authors extra, like if I have a friend that has a television show that's going right now that she's going to interview everybody on her show. I've got a show coming out. I'm interviewing. I have podcasts come through. I refer them to podcasts. I try to give them as much visibility as possible.
Yeah.
That's just
for sure
what I try to do from my point. But make your deadlines, make your commitments. That's paramount.
I think it's really an integrity issue. And if you tend to be somebody who runs late in life, you'll tend to be somebody who runs late with your deadlines, but there's a difference here because it's not just you, it's a whole team that you're holding up. And so you have to just work ahead. Even if you, like some people will set their clocks ahead or something, even if you have to say, I will have this in 30 days early in order to get it in on time, just do whatever it takes.
Right, exactly.
It's critical.
If you know that about yourself, for sure,
right.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Have somebody hold you accountable and get it in early.
Yes. And
there's
no
penalty for getting stuff in early, guys.
No penalty at all. But you will get praises from me.
Yeah, that's right. I know. You'll just get love and hugs back.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so what are three often overlooked benefits of anthology participation?
I already mentioned a couple of them.
For me,
it's community. It's being in a community with my anthologies. It's getting your message out with all the other authors, using that power of the group to go forward. And so many things have come out of that last anthology, like book signings.
Right. You've been busy. Like, I've never seen you so busy.
I know. I actually did take a few days off over the weekend because I was just so run down. I was like, I just have to sleep. And so I slept, but I have been so busy.
Yeah.
And not even busy enough, too busy to even keep up with my Facebook. I've been I haven't even been keeping up with that. What my VA posts, I haven't been able to get back to people. So, you guys don't fault me. I'll get to you.
Yeah. And there's seasons. And in those stretch and growing seasons, sometimes it is just like that. It's just so busy. But that's kind of what you were preparing for with all of this. You were preparing for those other opportunities that you would have never otherwise gotten.
Right. I would have never thought about ever. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing about an anthology. It puts you out there in front of people because you're having to promote it. You're having to post about it. You're telling people, I'm part of this anthology. And then you get to say, I'm part of a number one international best-selling book.
I mean,
how many authors get to say that?
Right.
How many
right.
people even are authors in the first place?
Right.
And another overlooked benefit for me was when I first started, I thought, I can't write a whole book. A whole book? I'm thinking War and Peace. I can't write a whole book. And so when I was invited to do an anthology, they said 3,500 words.
I can do that.
I've been writing blog posts at 1,000. I could do 3,500.
Right.
And once I did 3,500 and got that success, that gave me the increased ability to think, I think I could write a whole book. And it's not War and Peace by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
It's
but
a whole book.
Right. Right. No, I love that. It is just like you said earlier, it's a wonderful step on a growth trajectory to get in. And a lot of speakers at womenspeakers.com have been in multiple or at least one anthology. Many speakers in Chicken Soup for the Soul, many other anthologies. And then you think when you broaden the word anthology to include collaborations, then you've got the summits. And you've got even a site like womenspeakers.com where we all just hang out there because that's where the planners come to find speakers. And we're all there just available. You know, pick me, pick me. Yeah. What's the biggest mistake an author can make about an anthology and how do you avoid it?
The biggest mistake that an author can make or collaborator can make?
Okay, give us both.
Well, in my opinion, the biggest mistake a collaborator can make is setting too short a deadline, mm-hmm. not giving yourself enough time. But the biggest is not praying through every single thing, every single person. And I made that mistake with the last one and ended up in a pickle where I had to set some real strong boundaries and then I had to cut some ties. And so it was not a pleasant situation and I hate it. I hate it because I like everybody and I want everybody to get along and it doesn't always work that way. Yeah. You have to pray about it. And one of the biggest
things. Can I interrupt you there? Right. Real quick, because I'll lose this thought. And hopefully you won't lose your thought. Hang on to that thought you were going to say next. I realized all of a sudden that was rude of me because now you'll lose your thought. Sorry. I was thinking, though, as you said, and you just so happen to have, 12 collaborators in that first summit. But I was thinking about the night before Jesus selected his disciples and he went up on the hill alone and he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus needs to ask for advice, we need to ask for advice.
Right.
About
right.
that. Yeah, I love and that.
And then think about Jesus didn't prejudge them either. He knew everything about them because he was God, but he didn't prejudge them and say, no, you can't be.
Because you're just going to be a loser. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He gave them a chance and, and I try to do the same thing. But, the other thing, and now let's see if that thought has gone.
While you're thinking of that, I just want to mention too, what's coming to mind right here for me is that even when Jesus did follow God's instructions and chose exactly who he chose, he had one person who completely betrayed him.
Yes.
And he had all of them run away
yes.
the night he was taken into custody. And he had Peter who just so wanted to support him, who just did it in his own strength, cuts the ear off. Jesus puts the ear back on, says, mm-hmm. this isn't how we do this. Then Peter fully betrays him after that. Even when we pray through things, it's not going to be a perfect path. I think that's what I wanted to mention. It's like you don't get to just pray through it and then have everything peachy because that's just not how it works. But when you've prayed through it, whatever happens, there's peace that that God called you in that direction.
Right. And whatever it is that you have to do in that situation, what you have to do.
Right.
Because
God's going to carry you through
about it beforehand. But what I was going to say, for authors, the worst mistake I see people making is not having a contract. You need to have a contract between you and the collaborator. Because if you don't, and I have had people come to me as part of these anthologies and say, well, I got taken last time I tried to do one of these. And they're already weary. And I have to say, I have a contract and I line out in that contract what my responsibilities are, what your responsibilities are, what the deadlines are, everything, because you want to be sure that you're protected. And you want to be sure that, I don't know if I could take my contract to court and sue somebody for the money that I've invested, but I just like for them to know this is a business and I need to do things in a business manner. And I want them to know what their responsibilities are and what mine are.
Yeah.
And then we can move forward from there. And I do that. I sign a contract with the editor, sign contracts with marketers, sign a contract with the graphic designers. So contracts are very important. So be sure before you sign up to do an anthology with anybody, you make sure they have a contract
that
lines up what you're and have the dates on there that you're expected to get things to them.
Right. And ask for a couple of references from people that have worked with them before. There are so many scams out there, you guys. That's one of the things that we do at womenspeakers.com is when invites come through the system, we visually vet those and make sure it's not a spam, a scam, or somebody selling you something. And
I think somebody snuck through. Didn't somebody sneak through a couple of years ago? And somebody snuck through. And
we
we actually had a site hack.
Uh-huh. And so because it's such a huge site, every once in a while, we haven't had one now for years and years, but yeah, we had one. Was it like a year and a half ago? I think it was horrible.
I looked at that and I was like,
yeah, you're like, that's not right. Mm-hmm. No.
You can kind of smell a rat when you see your ring gun. That's not right.
I think it was coming in. I think that those that overwhelmed the system, because we have such strict controls in place.
Right.
I think that those that were coming in, I think they were coming in at 1,700 invites a minute.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it was crazy. It was just outrageously crazy. And so it took us over 24 hours to get a full handle on it and to get it to stop. But, you know, typically our system is so strong. It just prevents all of that from hitting the speakers.
Well, I would say, don't get too big.
Well, I know it is, you know what, the thing is that when God calls us to do something that's too big for us,
mm-hmm.
then that's when we have to depend on him. And I think one thing that's come out in this interview very clearly is that even when you're doing something with God and through God and for God and to God and trusting God and all that, you still don't have any guarantees that it's going to go perfectly. That's not the deal. The deal is that God's going to walk with you through the imperfections of it.
Exactly. Yes. And he's going to give you the strength and the knowledge to do whatever needs to be done every step along the way.
That's right.
You get support. That's why we have support. That's just like, just before we came on, I just got a new camera and a new mic. And so my IT guy was sneaking in the back door, which is, AKA my husband, just wanted to be sure before I went on, everything was straight.
I know. I saw this head peek around the corner behind your head.
He was just worried because he set it all up. He wanted to be sure it was right.
Pray through everything and have people praying for you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And have people that can help you. Like I have, in the middle of this one, I've had a few flare-ups from the car accident that we've been in and a few pain flare-ups and things. And I've had so many of the ladies reach out to me, what can I do? What can I do?
Yeah.
You know, how can I help? And that has been so reassuring as I'm going through this process of we're doing the summit first this time and we're doing it virtual. Then we're launching the book.
Backwards this time. So quick question on technology, on the technical side rather. The summit that's coming first, will the anthology be available for pre-sale at the time of your summit or not even yet?
Not even yet.
The summit is just the appetizer. That's right. Yeah.
And it's called the Fiercely Unstoppable Entrepreneur.
So
it's for entrepreneurs to tell their journey to help up and coming entrepreneurs. And it's whether you build whether you're an entrepreneur or you're in a ministry and you've built the ministry up to help those people who are coming along. And it's the Fiercely Unstoppable Entrepreneur. They can look me up, Elizabeth Klaman, and get information. The summit's free.
Just totally want to go over and check out Elizabeth's stuff. Her website is ElizabethClamon.com. That's ClamoN.com. And also she's available to speak at your summits, your online stuff. Plus are you traveling yet?
I was invited to go to New Orleans in March, but our daughter was due.
Yes, she had a new baby.
So we had a baby granddaughter, and I didn't go, and that was a good thing because the summit was exactly the same time she was born.
Right, you were kind of blocking, but now you're taking online.
I've got 5 summits this month and a couple already next month. So my first live is going to be in St. Louis in July.
Perfect.
Yeah. Unless something comes up before then and I'm ready.
Right. Yeah. No, I've started now this month. I've got 2 this month. So it's starting to come back, you guys. And for you planners, for you planners who are out there, if you want to understand how to start doing these live while you still have some gals stuck at home, do the SOAR2021.info is where to learn how to do the hybrids. And but just know that these live ones are happening now. They're starting to happen all over. So get courageous. Go for it.
Wait for hugs.
I know. So totally there with you.
Awesome. Southern
or not, I think everybody's built for hugs.
Yes,
Elizabeth, thank you for your life, thank you for your ministry, and thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Oh, it was so much fun, and thanks you guys for joining us. We just love to hang out with you and share really quality content that will help your life go more smoothly and your ministry grow fast, and you kind of maybe kind of dodge some of the pitfalls that you might have otherwise fallen into, or bumps you would have had to go over too fast. So anyway, we love you and take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.